Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:04 on the clock. As your host, James Jam, joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
And we are joined right now by our good friends over at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How's it going over there?
Going pretty well. How about for you?
Not bad at all. I know that we've got some colder temps coming up towards the weekend. How is today looking?
Yeah, still going to stay on the warm side of the system yet. But a cold front does move in during the afternoon hours tomorrow. And that also going to coincide with our best chances for some showers and storms coming in as we get more into the day tomorrow. And then showers into Thursday night as the cold air kind of funnels in here through us into Friday and the weekend sticks around. But today, a few sunny breaks and the cloudy skies. Otherwise, skies mid-60s. Main chances for a shower, a thunder shower today, further north across the state from us, so even up Merrill Way, Rhinelander especially, getting some of that activity. But otherwise, still looking at just a spotty shower chance, best chances north today with that after high in the mid-60s. 58 and cloudy tonight, isolated shower, and then shower and storm chances do increase here during the day on Thursday, 68 with a breezy south wind. Showers into Thursday night, then falling to 29 by Friday morning. Cloudy and blustery on Friday, 36 for the high, 24 Friday night. Lingering clouds and breaks the sun Saturday into Sunday, some highs around 32 both days and that weekend outlook. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Appreciate the update, Paul. We'll talk again tomorrow, okay?
Hey, you. That sounds good.
Have a good one. Big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, best in the business. Appreciate the time from them. Paul's been doing this a long time. He's good at what he does, man.
You know, I should be laughing, but I'm probably the only one like happy about snow.
I didn't really get
a chance. I'm saying snow, but
I didn't
cold.
Get a chance to thank him for making my co-host happy today. That makes my job a lot easier around here.
I mean, seriously, 65 on November 10th.
Yeah, we can't complain.
And, you know, I'm hosting the community leadership class on Thursday. Do you think they're going to want to be inside with Kurt Hoyer and I, like, listening? Or are they going to want to be outside?
Yeah.
65. Probably, seriously.
Hope that goes well, by the way. Hope that goes well. So what is the best time to weigh yourself? It's the time of year.
Never.
When we all start gaining weight again. But if you want to prevent it or even lose a few pounds, here's something easy that can help. Start weighing yourself every day.
But same time every day.
You don't need to be obsessive over a pound or two, but research has found weighing yourself once a day really can help. One study in 2015 had 50 overweight people follow the same diet plan for 6 months, and the ones who weighed themselves every day lost an average of 13 pounds, more than people who didn't weigh in as much. Researchers found it made them more mindful about things like late-night snacking. It also encouraged them to exercise more. Another study tracked 162 people for 2 years and had similar results. People were more likely to slim down if they weighed themselves daily, and tracking their results also helped. So what's the best time of day to step on a scale? Experts say first thing in the morning is usually best. You get the most consistent results that way, and you're less likely to forget.
And I agree.
Just extending this a little farther to the other article I read out of Consumer Reports regarding this, what Terry was saying, it is important, like that time of day. Now, it doesn't have to, if you get the, you know, you're off a minute or two, you're okay.
Oh, yeah.
But you're so right about that, Terry. We weigh differently different times of the day. So.
And if you just always do it, like they said, first thing when you get up in the morning, then it's just consistent. I'm not a huge advocate of. I mean, I think if you feel good, you're good, right?
Right on, yeah.
But I did, I don't know, probably like 5 years ago, I lost almost 40 pounds. Mm. And part of that journey for me was I actually bought a scale for the first time in my life when I was 43 years old. I bought a scale. Can you imagine that?
That's awesome.
And so, but it does make a difference because you do weigh a little bit different in the morning versus, or if you do it right after a meal or before bed or whatever. So I don't think it really necessarily matters when, but if you're just kind of consistent in what part of your day that you're in.
Yeah, and I'm so with you. I think you started this off right. If you feel good about how you're looking, that's all that matters. I do. I always think of the when it comes to weight, health issues. So that's where
definitely.
My focus goes. It's not about people that you look at. Like you deserve to look in the mirror and feel good about yourself, no matter what. So it's not, and everybody has different preferences. Some people like this, some people like that. So who knows? You probably have the perfect body for somebody out there. It's more about the health part of things that I come into play with this. And not necessarily just that, but for them, that's the first thing that pops in my head is that. But there are plenty of people that want to look better for their holiday pictures, or, you know, now's a good now's the time where they're working on their summer bods or whatever.
Or you just feel better. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Not carrying around as much, obviously, it makes your physical exertion much easier.
I mean, it is just science that, you know, you weigh more, you're going to put more strain on your body. It's the same thing if you like me and you're underweight. I'm putting more strain on my body. My organs are working overtime, all these things, because I'm not doing enough to put on weight and not giving my body enough help. It's that balance that you got to find, that you got to walk.
You better start with that daily bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah, I really should. Speaking of food, it's a National Fried Chicken Sandwich Day, and Popeyes has a buy one, get one deal. If you do a combo, you get a second sandwich for free. They've actually been running it since National Sandwich Day last week, but today's the last day. Wingstop has a similar buy one, get one deal. Another big chain also has in the mix. Del Taco has about 600 locations around the country, mostly out west. And they've got a buy one, get one crispy chicken taco deal for rewards members. So according to one of the largest Mexican food chains in America, tacos count as sandwiches now.
Again?
So we got back to this debate.
That is haunting
me. I know. It's messed up. We just, it comes back to that poll we had about National Sandwich Day and what is a sandwich.
A taco is not a sandwich. And I don't care if you work for the Weather Eye Weather Center or if you were part of the poll or if you're part of this silly story. A taco is not
a sandwich. I could not agree more with
this. And I don't care what's in it.
No.
I don't care if it's fried chicken in it. It's still a taco.
It is. I mean, just let it be what it is. Tacos have done nothing to us but good things. Tacos have been there for us.
Well, they clearly offended
tacos
someone
care.
That plunked them in the sandwich category.
I think it's somebody out there who just wants to be different for different sake.
Like, you walk in Taco John's or Taco Bell, it does not say sandwiches on the menu board.
No. If you go to a bar and you know they serve sandwiches, you know it's not going to be a taco. It's going to be a BLT or a BLT or something like that or whatever. It's a sandwich. This is not a sandwich. Stop it. We can't agree on this. Even this we can't agree on.
A taco is a taco, people.
Just leave tacos alone. They're fine the way they are. mean people. Leave tacos alone. As long as we're talking about food, I think that it's a good time for us to do some turkey trivia.
Awesome.
Yeah. Kind of a little bit of a curveball at you at this time, everybody. Usually we do this a little later. We're going to do it right now. So let's play some turkey trivia. What we're doing here, Terry, is asking a food trivia question. The first person to call in will become a qualifier for the Thanksgiving turkey giveaway. We'll, on Monday, November 21st, we'll pull one qualifier to win the turkey. We're going to grab a name every day up until the 18th. So we got two already. Let's get our third today. And again, if you have not already qualified, get ready to call 424-2600 and give us the answer to this. Terry and I are wondering. We're curious. We want to know. Wisconsin is the nation's leading producer of which fruit? Harvesting more than 60% of the country's crop, dishes made with this fruit are often found on Thanksgiving Day tables.
I know.
Yes. I have an idea that you know and many of our listeners out there know. So go ahead and call 424-2600. Let us know what is this leading producer, this leading fruit that we produce here in this state. Good morning. What's your answer? What's your answer?
Cranberries.
Hey, nice job.
Nicely done. Felt very confident about that one, didn't you, sir?
Yep, I did.
Yeah, are there cranberries on your Thanksgiving table?
Hmm.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Well, can I get your first name?
Mike.
Mike, thank you so much. Mike, what town are you calling us from?
Rapids.
All right, got another Rapids winner. I like getting that. Mike, thank you so much. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Maybe we're going to give you a free bird for it. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be cool, too.
Yeah. Mike, hang on the line. I'm going to get a little information from you. Thanks so much for listening and playing along.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Great guest to have. Thank you, Mike, for joining us. We will take a quick commercial break and come back with Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. If you are one of the many people trying to call in, I saw a number of different numbers trying to get in here. Keep on listening, everybody. We're going to continue to do this. We have got a couple of more days of this. We're doing it right up to the 18th. So we're going to get some information from Mike. We'll come back and get into Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club right here on Mornings at WFHR.
Another candle on my birthday cake. We're gonna bake a birthday cake. Put another candle on my birthday cake. I'm another year old today.
It's time to do some celebrating with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're gonna do right now is do some celebrating with all of you, and we encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. And we want to encourage you to get us these birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR or James@WFHR. Like our Facebook page, direct message us that way. Any way you got to get them to us, everybody. We want to celebrate with you. Terry doesn't have to work this morning.
Ugh.
I know. You get
really?
A break.
You get
a break.
You have at least one, though, right?
I do have one. I do have a set of qualifiers here.
You know, there's that challenge. We want somebody for every day.
Every day.
So we have, on December 1st, we have 30 qualifiers.
Uh-huh. Now, we do have a special one here, though. Even though we only have the set, it's a anniversary. Happy 54th anniversary. That's awesome. Bob and Janet Wayland.
Awesome. Happy anniversary.
Bob and Janet, enjoy your anniversary. We hope it's a great one for you. And you are our instant qualifiers. Congratulations and a big thank you to whoever got us their names. We appreciate it. We love celebrating, especially those long anniversaries. That's fun. That's pretty cool. So let's go ahead and take a look at our celebrity list real quick. French Montana is 38. Hip-hop artist. Hip-hop artist with the most un-hip-hop name I think I've ever heard. When I first saw the name French Montana, I genuinely thought it was a country singer.
I thought it was going to be Hannah's brother.
Yeah.
Is it a dude?
It is, I believe.
Okay.
I believe it is.
Well,
I'm going to be honest, I'm not 100%.
Because I just assumed, but I was like, well, maybe not.
I'm not cool enough to know, so I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, surprise.
That nobody is shocked by that one. Cisco is 44. Most famous for this thong song, of course, but he was in the R&B band Drew Hill. That's where he really made his bones and made really his good music. At 44, I doubt you could probably still be doing the thong song in concerts. I don't know if you could still do that.
It depends who your audience is.
True, very true.
If it's all those same people.
That's funny, yes. And it is. It definitely is. It definitely is, too. Nick Lachey is 49. He was a boy band, 98 Degrees. So, yeah, that's all I know about him. I know he's married to Jessica Simpson, I think, or something. I don't know.
You're like, so, yeah.
Yeah, but hey, happy 49th, man.
Hey, happy birthday. 49th.
Hey, happy birthday to you. Hey, you, look at you with a birthday over there. All right. I'm in one of those moods today, people. This is not going to end well. Chris Jericho is 52. One of the biggest names in wrestling. Certainly one of the more popular names in wrestling. I'm a big fan of Chris Jericho. Well, for one, I should say I'm a fan of his persona on stage and all that and everything. I don't know who him in his personal life or anything like that, but he is one of those guys who can bring it in the ring as well as on the microphone, and I always admired those guys that can do both so well.
Did you ever see, like, All-Star Wrestling? Did you ever see All-Star Wrestling in person?
Yeah, once or twice.
One time, way back. Remember the AWA?
Yes.
What was that, American Wrestling Association,
American
maybe?
Wrestling Association.
But they came to Point, to the Quant Fieldhouse, and I was in elementary school, and a couple of my friends and I talked our dads into taking us.
Nice.
It was like Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah,
I mean, it was something to see.
Coco Beware, Junkyard Dog. Junkyard Dog, that's still like probably my favorite wrestling name. Coco Beware is up there. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. There's a bunch of great ones, but something about just Junkyard Dog. Like, just it's just perfect. It's a perfect wrestling name. Lou Ferrigno is 71. The Incredible Hulk to your parents' generation and then to many of us. He also played himself on King of Queens and in the movie I Love You, Man. I've always admired Lou Ferrigno in part because of not letting his speech impediment slow him down in life. Mm-hmm. So many people get ashamed or you know, kind of...
Or are ashamed.
Or are, yes.
Yes.
And kind of like they refuse to talk or any of these things. Lou Ferrigno has always been very... not casual, but very brave, I thought, about you know his speaking impediments and those kind of things. I know that their pushback might be, well, if you look like Lou Ferrigno, what do you got to be afraid of? You know, but that doesn't matter. There are plenty
of... You mean
of,
being green?
Right, yeah. There are plenty of people who are built like a brick house and have a lot of internal strife and you know difficulties. This is part of the reason they are as big as a brick house.
Do you think when he flexed and his shirt tore apart, do you think... Like he legit could do that, or do you think it was like partially taken apart?
I bet you.
Come on, answer correctly.
I believe he could legit do it. I believe, but I'm the little kid that watched that, so I'm still with those eyes imagining, remembering that scene.
Yeah,
man, that I know they played the same clip over and over whenever he did it. I know they just filmed it once and played it over and over, but every time it got me as a kid, like oh, shouldn't make him angry. Don't make him angry. Oh, they made him angry. I told you not to make him angry.
It's kind of like when there's like. You know, so that was always what, like a flannel shirt. But like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like when there's a shirt with buttons.
Yes.
And you see like on TV where, you know, they'll grab each side and just like tear it
yeah,
open.
Yeah.
Did you ever grab a shirt that's like, I mean, like yeah. you have to, you're
have
not
you ever
just
had somebody do that
tearing,
to you?
No, but you're like not just tearing, you know what I mean? It's kind of funny.
I will not go too deep in this story so you guys can enjoy your breakfasts and everything, but I actually had a girl do that to me once with a flannel I had on. And
yeah,
I
but did the buttons pop or
no,
were you like
popped,
crying?
Everything was there. No, everything popped and we you know, it was passionate and all that stuff and everything. But in my head, I'm thinking, I really like this flannel. She just ruined it. Just shredded it. Because it didn't break like in the movies and everything where the button, like the buttons not only went flying off, one of them hit her in the cheek and she ripped the flannel. Like she was, actually, now that I think about it, she's a lot stronger than I gave her credit
See?
For. It's actually pretty impressive now that I think about it.
Long did, relationship did, or?
No, God, no, no, no. Not at all. No. No. I don't know. We'll just stop right there.
Well, yeah, probably.
Alan Gretzler, Ferrario Speedwagon, helps me change the subject as he is 74 today. Hey, REO Speedwagon, great band, right? They've got to take it on the run, keep on loving, in your letter, can't fight this feeling. A lot of big hits. And some people no longer with us. One of my favorite character actors growing up, Charles Robinson, 1945, passed away in 2021. He was Mac on Night Court and Mr. Munson on Mom.
Oh, yeah.
He was so, like, just a net effortless, I thought, with
yeah,
his.
I
really
agree.
Enjoyed his character, really enjoyed his work. Tom Fogerty, born in 1941, passed in 1990, CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival. The classics, Bad Moon Rising, Down in the Corner, Up Around the Bend. So many, you know, came from the pen of Tom Fogerty. And let's see here. As we mentioned earlier, it is Carl Sagan Day. This is the day it would have been Carl Sagan's birthday. Born in 1934, passed away in 1996. Astrophysicist extraordinaire, and so many other things for so many other people, and especially to our generation, Terry, so much of what he meant to us. And, you know, really, like I said earlier, really being that guy before all these other great names to
for
do
sure.
that stuff. One more time, we want to wish an extremely big happy anniversary to Bob and Janet Wayland. Happy 54th, you guys. Enjoy
happy
your anniversary. Let's see, for 50th, it is, I thought I knew this already, gold. Yeah,
gold
is 50th.
Bring on the gold, dude.
Well, 55 is emerald. So at 54, you better start saving up
for
that
emerald. Save your pennies.
Yeah, right? keep that up. And I do want to also remind everybody to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. As we said before, info@WFHR.com or James@WFHR. Get us these birthdays, anniversaries. Send them to our Facebook page. If it isn't me you send it to, you know, you can send it to other people here at the staff. Just get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We want to celebrate with all of you. Go ahead and get to Melissa's news now. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun. We got other things to get into. And don't forget, a little bit later, we got the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday with our friends from Quality Plus Printing.
Like trouble?
Yeah, more trouble coming up. Yeah, definitely. It's for you. They put you and I together. We're the kids that they would have separated us day one in class.
Do you know what's funny? You're like, they put us together. Yeah, I'm pretty sure just you and I did this.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And for the record, I was very quiet In schools.
So I would have been the bad influence.
Though. I would have been probably like telling you to be quiet.
Yes, yes. More than likely.
Quietly.
Quietly. Quiet. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. You head on over to Misty's and treat yourself. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Take a listen to Mel's News, and then when you get to Misty's, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Terry and James here with you. We'll be joined by Phil Hartley in a little while with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Thanks for the warning.
Yes. Yeah. It is good to warn people about Phil. No, we love Phil.
I love Phil, but you know.
Yeah. You still need a heads up. So here's an interesting question. If time travel was possible, which decade of your life would you choose to experience all over again? How about your 20s, or maybe go way back and be a toddler with no responsibilities?
Ugh.
Someone asked 2,000 American seniors what they'd do, and the top answer was to go back and experience their 30s again. 30% said their 30s were the happiest or best decade of their life. Their 20s was second, and with 25% of the vote.
Seniors, if you think about that, so they're seniors now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were by their 30s or maybe even their 20s, but by their 30s for sure. Like, they were established in their career. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of them who are seniors now had one or two careers. They weren't changing jobs every you know what I mean? Like 3-4 years. So they were probably established. They had a home. They had, you know, children. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a senior yet, so I don't have as many decades to choose from, you know, to go back. But I think 30s is a good choice.
I have no problem with that. I think that's a good answer.
I would even say 40s, but I'm not out of the 40s yet. Yeah, so I don't know if I can pick that.
Same here, yeah. Seniors were also asked what advice they'd give their younger self if they had a chance. The number one answer was don't try time travel. Don't do it. No, that's not what they're. Some of the most common answers include accepting challenges, follow your gut, be bold, stay humble, always be prepared, and stay positive. But would their younger self even listen? 49% said that they'd received solid advice from people when they were young, but ignored it. Because that is the folly of youth. That is the phrase, youth is wasted on the young and all that stuff. That's how we learn. That's, you know, it's... Now, for some, there are people that learn, you know, from being told something, and they don't need to necessarily have the hardship of actually going through the process. I'm a hard learner. I'll admit it. I am the type of person that I have always had to... I got to see the information. I got to experience it to really, truly, like, yeah, I know you said the oven's hot, Mom, but, oh, God, it's hot.
So your gut is to be skeptical.
Yes. I
mean, I'm not saying about everything, but just in general.
Oh, no.
Or inquisitive.
Inquisitive, especially. Yeah. And I would say almost everything in life I am that way with. It was a detriment a bit as a young person, especially. But now, especially as I get older, I appreciate it. I think I've thought about this subject too much. I think, like a lot of writers I talk to, delve in the time travel and the idea and the concept and everything. And it's something that I actually had a story I was working on that was going to involve this. So I did a little research. And, like, how realistic is time travel? Like, we've talked about this our whole lives. How real is it? And I came across an article from Stephen Hawking where he talked about this. And realistically, and again, keep in mind, we're nowhere near this. But we're actually closer to time travel than we are teleportation. Teleportation, it is asking the literal universe to do something that it's not even capable of doing. You're taking every molecule, every chromosome, every little thing and transporting it, I mean, even just 5 feet. In that, let alone like in movies and stuff where they transport you to a whole different planet or different place or something like that.
If you were given the opportunity to time travel, would you do it?
I don't think so.
I would be scared to death I wouldn't get back.
That or
not back to where I wanted to go. I'm saying back to today.
Right. And me too. That would be a concern.
It also really doesn't. I mean, I'm fine with the science of it, but it also doesn't really align with my beliefs. Like, right. I don't feel like if I wanted to go back to a certain day 20 years ago, like, I don't feel like I should be able to go from now back to then and influence something that would change what was his, you know what I mean? Like, I just, and I'm not even saying that that's how it would work, but, right. but I just, you know, like, if you could time travel, are you just an observer or are you an active participant in, to me, it just doesn't align with, like, my Christian beliefs.
People love to throw the, especially to Jews, they love to throw at us that if you can go back in time and kill Hitler or kill baby Hitler, would you do it and all that? So most Jewish, in fact, if you're over the age of 10 and you're Jewish, you've heard this, you've thought about time travel because this has been put to propose to you. So many people think they're the first person to ever come up with this thought or this question or they're so, there's such a macabre, like, desire for an answer because there's no correct answer to something like that. You take away somebody like that in history, how do I know that the next guy wouldn't have gotten the job done? There's too many. So with that being said, just in my own personal life, if you told me I could go back and relive or I could go back and watch or something, I got no interest in that because knowing me, I will muck something up and make it even worse.
Or what if you could go back though, just for like, let's say you could go back for 2 hours, like to just spend time with someone.
That's
you know what I mean? Like something like that. I'm not talking about, I'm not minimizing, but I'm not talking about, you know, like big, heavy, deep stuff. But you know, like, so like if you could go back and spend time with someone, you know, that you can't spend time with now, or you know what I mean? Like something like that. Like, you know, like very Hallmark movie-ish.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
But I still would worry I couldn't get back.
Well, you know, I'll say this. You know, and this hits a little close and everything, but that's what we do on this show, real talk. You know, I lost my cousin this weekend, and I miss her so much, and I would give anything to have 5 minutes with her right now.
Yeah.
So I feel you on that. I definitely hear you on that part. It's something I don't really, when I've thought about this subject, that part I haven't really thought much about.
Yeah.
I usually think about the and like most of us, what would we change? And I don't like the idea of doing that because I'm not willing. I just got life right. Like I'm just starting like to get I'm this not, right yeah. in my 40s yeah, yeah. here and everything. I don't feel like messing with that. Knowing my luck, it'd be in my 70s right before. Like I'm on my deathbed and I finally get it. Like, oh, like, now I understand.
Or like instead of going back to a day, like you go too far forward.
Yeah. Which would definitely.
I set the year wrong.
That would happen. And again, I've said this before. I feel like I would waste a time machine because, yeah, I would go back. I'd see my cousin. I'd like to see my nana, things like that. I'd like to see my kids growing, you know, so much of that part of my life. But what I would, you know, what I outside of any of those things, I want to go back and see, like, concerts. Like, I want to see Miles Davis at the Monterey Pop Festival. I want to see Jimi Hendrix lighting his guitar on fire, right. You know, those kind of things.
Like observing it. I mean, kind of cool to just hover and observe it, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You don't have to be, like, physically in the front row, you know, but just to kind of be, I don't know. Yeah, something cool about that.
There is something that seems really unique and interesting about it. It's also kind of just fascinating how the subject has been a part of our lexicon for so long. H.G. Wells' time machine is you know, over 100 years old or whatever. I mean, I don't know about that, but we've thought about this subject for so very long. I don't believe we're any closer to it, though.
No.
Most things in human history, we've been looking at, we want this. How do we make it happen? And, you know, it takes a long time, maybe some things more than others. But we find either a way to get it done or that it's, you know, okay, we're moving on. This is not going to be possible. I still have not gotten a legitimately good answer, though, of why we have not evolved on changing tires. I've done this many times in my life. If I changed a tire, and it's been in all types of weather, it's always bad weather. I've never changed a tire, and it was perfect weather outside.
Murphy's Law.
It is. It's the way it is. But it still hasn't changed. Like the way that we were doing this in the 20s is not that different than how we're doing it in 2022.
So you're looking for an additional computer chip for your vehicle that actually like pulls the jack out of the back and brings it around, or maybe there's a built-in jack. At each tire, and then it just drops.
I wasn't even thinking that big. I was just thinking of an electronic jack that just is cheap and affordable and and reliable.
Or like something electric to loosen the lug nuts, because you typically aren't carrying that around. You know, you're doing it by hand.
Yeah, I forgot about how hard that part was. My wrists are still feeling some of that. That wouldn't be bad.
Should bulk
that
up a little.
Be bad. Yeah, working on it. he says, for 20 years. The part that I take the most from this article, because this is all just, you know, hoopla and talk and everything. None of this is going to happen. Look, if time travel, you know, if somebody discovers it and it pops up in the news tomorrow, I'll eat a hat. But other than that, I don't think we're going to be seeing this in any of our lifetimes. So what I take from this article is what those seniors were saying, the most common answers that they include, the advice they'd give to their younger self. And would I? I'll be honest. I don't know if I would have listened to this advice, but I do think it's good to put out into the universe. I think it's good to put out there more. You know, I'm the accepting of challenges, following your gut, being bold while staying humble, always being prepared, staying positive. There's nothing negative about any of those. There's no bad side effects to living your life doing any of those things. I do think, again, though, younger me would I already do that. I already do that. Like, no, you don't, man. I know I'm you. I know you don't. No, I do. No, you don't. You think you do, but you're not doing it. I don't know about this one. I don't. We'll take a break right here. I know that much. It's break time.
You do know that?
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll
good.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll get into some more fun. And we got the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday coming to us. Plenty more coming up right here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody. Hope it's a good one for you. Want to remind you
Can you do it the right way?
Happy hump day!
Thank you.
Happy hump day!
Here we go. If you're going to do it,
yeah,
just
you gotta
do it
really
right.
Go all in, yeah. We're going to be joined any moment by our friends from Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Looking forward to that. Real quick, we'll get into this, and then as soon as Phil joins us, we'll dive into that. A new poll found 1 in 7 Americans never tell anyone who they voted for, including friends and family. 14% said never, and another 17% said rarely. That's almost 1 in 3 people who don't like talking about it or refuse to. Meanwhile, 35% of us would talk openly about it. Everyone else said it depends. Independents are most likely to say that they don't like revealing who they cast votes for. 37% said they rarely or never do. And here's one more stat from the poll that we found interesting. Younger voters don't think anyone really cares if they voted yesterday or not. People were asked what their friends and family would think if they found out they didn't vote, and only 29% of people under 30 think that they'd be shamed for it. 26% think that their friends and family would actually approve of them not voting. Another 26% said they wouldn't care either way.
I think that you should never ask someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's just proper etiquette. Like, I shouldn't say, hey, James, who'd you vote for yesterday?
Yeah.
I think that if you want to talk about it, then fine. But you know what I mean? Like, people shouldn't be like, hey, come over for dinner. Let's talk about who you voted for. I don't know.
We've entered into these gentlemen's agreements, if you will, with so many things in life.
Or it's etiquette or etiquette. Whatever.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Just wording it a little differently.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, etiquette, all those things. And there's a class that we used to give each other. I'd love to see the numbers of this study when in the 80s. You know, when we're kids and stuff, or even in the early 90s, where those numbers would be. Nowadays, we've turned politics into rooting for our sports team.
Well, yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
Ugh.
That's cultish, if you ask me. I could not agree with you more. I think that if you volunteer this information, that's different.
Yep.
But asking somebody, that I would sooner ask somebody how much they weigh than I would ask them who they voted for. And we never, like, again,
I agree.
We agree.
And
we
you
don't
wouldn't
do that,
do that right. Either.
Yeah,
yes,
do
I
that.
Agree. I agree.
And it's really, like, because I can only think of one time I've had somebody ask me this, and I this was a person who I knew very well and everything, and I looked them dead in the eye and I said, it ain't none of your dang business.
Right.
Like, why do you care?
And
what?
So sometimes that's a boundary we cross when we're close. You know what I mean? Like, when we're
close
to
with
someone.
This person, yeah.
But
even
still,
that person, I wasn't willing to, like, why? No, man, we're not that close.
We kind of have this little inside joke at home.
Hmm.
You know, like, every once in a while, Randy be like, oh, who'd you vote for? And I'm like, you can't ask me. I mean, he knows clearly who I voted for. Like, that's something we discuss. But I mean, it's hilarious because, like, you can't ask me that.
Yeah. My mom, very political family growing up, and my father, not as political as most, but or as the rest of the family. But he's gotten, you know, he cares, and he's been with my mom for over 40 years, so he certainly, you know, has to keep up on these things because he wants to know what she's talking about, if anything. And he cares about the world and that kind of thing. But he's one of these guys where he's got too good of a poker face in some things. So I love the idea of him, like, almost not to say it in a mean way, but like messing with my mom, like, you know, that, hey, I actually changed my mind the moment I got in there and I voted for this, you know, just to throw her off, just to mess with her a little bit. They've been together 40 some years. I mean, you got to keep it fresh every once in a while, you know. I don't know. I can't think of any scenario where it's cool for somebody to ask you this. I'm genuinely trying to think. Any situation. I don't even, like, when we have our representatives on, Representative Krug, Representative Shanklin.
So, like, you ask Scott Krug who he voted for.
Right, yeah, I do. No, I've talked with these guys, many of these individuals before, and Scott will say that he doesn't go up there and ask who they're voting for or if they're red or blue or something. Sometimes it gets shown for you by political signs in the yard or the way they react to you the second you say you're this party or what have you. But even a politician is not going to ask you that kind of question. All the people that could, I still don't think it'd be classy to ask, but of all the people you would think you'd be okay with asking, it would be somebody running for office.
Right.
And even they don't
But
do
you
it.
Don't, yeah. No,
even they don't do it.
I think it's just it is. It's exactly what you said. It's a gentleman's agreement. It's proper etiquette. It's like a taboo thing. You just don't, if somebody wants you to know, they'll tell you.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you get to hear way more than you ever wanted to.
There's a lot of there's a lot of things in society that we've had to learn to adapt to or learn to, okay, this is out in the open now kind of thing. And we've, you know, so much of that is in a positive way. You know, we mention this all the time, especially when the Family Center joins us. Domestic violence is no longer a subject we're going to talk about in a hushed voice. I'm not worried about you being upset and not wanting to hear this information or anything like that. It's too important. It's too vital. We got to talk about these things. For everything like that, there's still some stuff that, you know, it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, don't fix it. I mean, the way we have treated politics, it's already divisive. Imagine if every single one of us walked around with just, you know, you don't even introduce yourself. You're like, hi, I voted for so-and-so. Like, that kind of thing. Like, nobody would be friends with anybody. Like,
everyone would be in their parents' basement.
At the same time, maybe you can flip the script on that. Yeah, they would be. You know, there's the other side of things, too, where what brings us closer together, what would bring us closer together. Well, again, look at what happened yesterday. Over 50% of people voted in this area. Overwhelmingly, the majority of the country voted in this election. We all did that. Maybe you didn't vote for the same person. Maybe you didn't do it for the same reasons, but we all voted. We have that in common. We have democracy in common. We also have to learn to live with each other. By noon today, maybe even a little bit later, we're probably going to have final results for almost all of these elections. The people who lost are not going to pick up and move. Like, up, off to Argentina. Yeah. You know, but no, you ain't gonna take off.
Why'd you pick there?
Just something weird. It was that or Timbuktu.
I'm weird.
We're still going to have to live together. We're still going to have to work together. And not just that, but working alongside each other, living alongside each other. We've done this for over 100 years. Like, we can keep doing this. We can keep doing this and be better at it and improve at it. There's a lot of ways we can do that. Let's see here. I'm a little surprised. Phil hasn't joined us yet.
Oh, me too.
I hope everything's all right over there, Phil.
Oh.
Yeah. We will hopefully hear from him at some point soon.
Where are you?
I find it interesting, going back to this article here, Terry, what they say about younger people with the whole not voting and voting thing. I find that interesting because I don't know a single person 25 and under or even 26 and under who does not maybe know more about politics than I even do. And that's weird. That's saying something. They're very engaged. They care quite a bit.
Yeah.
It could just be the areas that I live in or the bubbles that I'm in. I'm not saying at all that they speak for the majority or anything like that. But we do have people who we don't know, but we have them show up in our good stories of the day. Like, every day we have one of these young people doing something that's amazing.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of us, though. So for every person that's like that, there's going to be people that aren't. And that's, you know, that's society. That's how it works. I did want to touch on one more time, Terry, a couple of other things that are going on here locally. We have some fun stuff that we get to do around here, and then we have some other great things that we're a part of. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is these good stories of the day. We have a number of them, and we end up really kind of getting to share some stuff, because I heard from a couple of listeners recently about how much this can mean to them, like they take through their day. Uh-huh. And I was a little humbled, not humbled, but I was a little taken back by it because I didn't expect it. I know that we do these, we try to put these things out there. It was really cool to hear from some people how much they appreciate them. Keep that feedback coming, everybody. Good, bad, doesn't matter. It's all data to us. We appreciate the information. Endangered frogs see population explosion after 422 pounds were built. ponds were built in Switzerland.
It's like rabbits.
Yep. All of Switzerland's threatened frog species populations exploded when scientists began a simple pond building campaign. Particularly among the web-footed benefactors were the European tree frog, whose numbers have quadrupled since 1999, as have the numbers of areas they can be found. While protection laws in the Swiss canton are set aside for frogs, newts, and toad species were strong, scientists wanted to see if the habitat restoration could kickstart their continually declining numbers. In 1999, in condition with the Agaru government, nonprofits, volunteers, and landholders, a 20-year program of building 422 ponds across five regions was started. Most frogs need small ponds that naturally develop off the sides of the bends in slowly meandering rivers. These features that have rapidly disappeared in Switzerland's high road railway density and intensely managed farmland. Of the eight endangered species, 52% increased their regional population and 32% were stabilized. This is now we're seeing more and more of these conservation stories really give fruit to their labor.
Sure.
We've done a couple of these actually over the last couple of months around the world. Now I understand it doesn't affect how does this affect you? You know, I don't even eat frog legs. How does this that kind of thing? If it's working in one place,
go right to the food.
If it's working in one place, it can work in multiple places, and it's proof that conservation works.
Now
we already had this data, we already had this proof, but for science, it's never bad to have more and more data. That is really cool.
It is really cool. It makes me think about, and no, it's not a rare frog or whatever, but yeah. But like we have a pond, and so there's always in the spring, like you get tadpoles like insanely. So like, you look in the pond and all you see is just these little black blobs swimming around all over. And I'm always like, that's really cool. I mean? I don't know if I want 2,000 frogs all of a sudden descending edge of the pond there. But it is just really, it is cool. And you hate to see any of those species disappear.
Yeah. We've already lost enough of those species and everything. So it is nice when we can keep them around, when we can keep this kind of thing going. And I did want to touch on the great New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway. We have a prize of two tickets to the January 1st game, Packers-Vikings. These are club tickets. As Melissa said the other day, that means warmth.
Yeah, absolutely. Great seats.
I didn't even think about it, really.
I've been in them. They're good.
Listeners will register at a Dropbox location for their chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business and will become qualifiers for the Green Bay giveaway. Qualifiers will be placed into a hat, and the one final winner will be drawn. So we encourage you, if you haven't done so already, visit our friends at Husos at the Lakes in Rome, Lac Taqueria, and Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly. There's a location, there's a drop box at every one of those places. You've got a chance for one registration per person per location. Registration will close on November 28th, and the winner will be announced on November 30th.
You know what I love about that? A lot of times you register for something like this, and you literally find out, 3 days before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I, I love the forethought of it, and you know, whether it was Steph or, but I mean, you know, just the effort of like, mm-hmm. people are going to know so they can plan, and I think that's awesome.
It was this project, like many projects, a couple of big names being involved in this one.
Oh, sure.
I know Steph, you know, really spearheading, getting a really ball rolling. Mike, you know, over on Devil's Advocate, you heard before, I had a couple of different good notes about this. So many people work so hard on this. A big shout out to all of our staff, and certainly to all these local businesses. Buy local, support local. When you're going to put your name in these boxes, you know, visit the area. Visit the business that you're at and stuff.
I mean, La Taqueria.
Come on. I mean, it's great food. Jennings, great food, great atmosphere. Same thing with Hoozles at the Lakes. You've heard me ramble about Hoozles many times. A fantastic place. And Piggly Wiggly.
Shop the Pig.
Shop the Pig. Love Piggly Wiggly. Love Piggly Wiggly. When I was living in Nacusa, that's the only place I went for food. That's the only place I went for groceries. I went there all the time. It's the only one I could think of, though. It's the only Piggly Wiggly I could think of. That's the only one. I don't know how many there are in the state.
There are
anymore.
More, and I think there used to be more than there are now.
Oh, yeah.
But I love it. It's so, you know what I mean?
Great.
It's, but you don't forget it.
Nope. We will get to a commercial break in a second. One more time, do want to remind you, this time next Wednesday, we're going to be in the heart of the United Way Radiothon. We'll be getting right towards the last couple of hour and a half, 2 hour and a half of it and everything. Be sure to join us next week for that. It's a really fun, special show we get to do once a year, and we're so thankful to be able to do it. A big shout out to Civic Media and to the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, giving us a chance to do something like this for our community. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and get into some more fun. We got plenty more to do, Terry. It's mornings here at WFHR.